Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, first this evening, the Union of Students in Ireland is staging a sleep out outside Leinster House tonight in protest over the lack of student accommodation around most third level colleges. Students have seen soaring costs and dwindling availability as they return to campus for the first time in a year and a half. And they say couch surfing or overcrowding and even living in tents is the reality for many students. After five, we'll be speaking to the junior higher education minister, Niall Collins. But first, Fergal Keane has been at the protests outside the Dáil and he joins me now. Students, Fergal, they're saying that many of them are in a desperate situation.
And it's something we've been hearing about for the past few weeks here and elsewhere, how the amount of student accommodation available in almost every centre in the country has fallen, and because of that then prices are rising sharply. The student welfare officers at universities, they're reporting hundreds of calls from people desperately looking for any kind of a bed at reasonable costs. And we've reported here already that in Dublin, for example, you'd be paying at least €250 a week for any kind of a room anywhere. Now, the students have been saying that many people who in the past might have offered digs have withdrawn from that service because of COVID, because they don't want to bring strangers into their homes. And that then they say as well that purposeful student accommodation is being put up on Airbnb for tourists. And at the same time, we've been hearing from people who've been forced to stay in hotels while they tried to sort out the first few weeks of their term. So today, the USI took to the streets outside Leinster House to protest and look for political action on the issue. As it was a small but pretty vocal protest, as you'll hear now.
Who are we?
Students!
What do we want?
Accommodation!
Who are we?
Students!
What do we want?
Accommodation!
Who are we?
Students!
And what do we want?
Accommodation!
Ross Boyd, you're the accommodation officer in DCU. What are people saying to you?
So people are saying to me how desperate the situation is, that there are four people applying for accommodation for every single place that's available, how all the hostels and hotels are full, even the ones that we got referral rates, that to make sure that students aren't tripped up even further. However, it's a case of that people have to live in digs or that are sort of over 500, 600, even 1,000, I've heard in some cases a month, and being able to sort of have to travel sort of 3 or 4 hours from the depths of West Cork or Mayo just to travel to Dublin. And yeah, it shows you how much it costs.
Like,
well,
what specific cases have you come across?
So specific cases I've come across are specifically an international student who has basically phoned up to me saying they have no place for accommodation on the next day, and how much they have to sort of basically have to beg sort of hostels and hotels just to be able to have an affordable rate, because there's absolutely no rooms or sort of affordable hostels even available. So
have you had people turn you down places in TCU?
I've definitely heard some places where they've just been unsuccessful. Obviously, there's a lot of demand for on-campus accommodation, so that's probably the biggest thing as well. But obviously, off-campus is a case where prices are in the almost 800 to 900, even just for a room for 5 days a week. So it shows you how desperate the situation is, sort of having to not be able to find a place only for like a full time, but only for a short time. And also the conditions in some of these places are quite horrendous as well.
Adam Clark, you're here for Dublin, or Technical University of Dublin. What are student circumstances there?
So students came back in the last week or so, and we've been getting reports that like students have been coming up from the countryside and they have nowhere to stay, basically. The student accommodation rent rates are just astronomical, and it's just really...
How much are we talking about?
We're talking like... It's just crazy, like 240 to almost nearly like 400 to rent a room, not even your own place. It's like, and like it goes up and up as like the inner city kind of accommodations come here and there. But really, like, we've been just getting reports that like, people are actually couch surfing and they're trying to find places with like family, friends, rather than getting a place of their own. And it's just really unacceptable to us.
In TUD, how many people have come into you about that?
Well, me personally, we've had a couple of few, but like we get contact through our advice page, we get contact through our like social media pages. The drop-in service is kind of limited due to COVID at the moment, which is a shame as well, because we know there's students out there that needed help, but there is plenty of concerned parties going through our social medias and advice pages.
What are you saying to people who might be couch surfing, they might be starting back just this week, desperate for summer?
Yeah, absolutely.
What advice are you giving them?
I mean, stay strong, because we're going to fight on your behalf. We're going to do everything we can to actually get this injustice kind of rectified. We wouldn't say, like, if you're going to be getting tents, God, it's so dangerous. You know what I mean? Like, we're really care for people who's going to be getting
tents. Is it that bad?
I mean, it's absolutely. We have tents here today, and it's not only a powerful kind of image, because they are thinking about, they're actually thinking about, like, sleeping on the streets because they want a good education. And I don't think that should go in hand with, like, good education. You shouldn't have to be putting yourself in danger out on the streets.
Can I see your name?
Greeny Gavin.
What's the situation? Why are you protesting here today?
So we're protesting because we've heard over the past coming weeks that we've heard from student unions, we've heard directly from students that they're having to defer their courses if they've just got accepted onto a course, having to defer for a year, or they're having to drop out of their courses, or they're having to sofa surf while they're studying because the rent is too high. There's not enough beds. There's not enough places to live where they're looking to study. So we're out here demanding for immediate and urgent action by the government. What we're asking for funding, for a commitment to funding for purpose-built student accommodation. We're asking for serious rent controls immediately. We're asking to make sure the student accommodation beds are actually kept as student accommodation beds, not sold off as they're not used as Airbnbs or for holiday lets and things like that. And as well as that, we want to make sure that the universities who wanted to grow and develop and add more places, that there's no new course places without living spaces for those students in those places to actually live in while they're studying.
Some students protesting outside the Dáil this afternoon. Fergal, what kind of political reaction did they get?
Well, as with all housing, it's a big political issue at the moment. So politicians from all the opposition parties were out to speak to them in numbers and to listen then to the stories we heard just there. And various bills are being promised by several opposition parties. But the reality is that legislation takes quite a while to work through the House. And this is an issue for today. If people are really considering going to have to sleep in tents for the first couple of weeks of their term. So the issue was then raised in the House itself at leaders' questions by Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty.
To the stories of the students who told us how what should have been one of the proudest moments, one of the most exciting moments for any student going off to college, has turned into a nightmare for many of them because they can't meet the most basic of needs, that is finding a place to live. And as we meet here this afternoon outside the gates of Leinster House, students are protesting due to the lack of student accommodation. Many of them are staying in hotels, in B&Bs, in hostels, paying crazy prices. Others are commuting the long distance from home to college every single day, with many, many more of them going from home to home, house to house, couch to couch, with a rucksack on their bag and a sleeping bag under their arm. And it's having a profound effect on access to education, and it particularly disadvantaged people from rural communities.
And that's Piers Doherty of Sinn Féin raising the issue inside the Dáil. It was the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar taking the questions at leaders' questions today, wasn't it, Fergal?
That's right. And he spoke of a number of initiatives the government were taking in an effort to ease the situation. They're building student accommodation, preventing purpose-built accommodation from being offered for rent elsewhere, which appears to be quite a big issue. But really, for the people outside, the problem is for today, where they're going to find accommodation this weekend, this month, next month. And the Taoiseach said that the last 18 months had been a difficult time for students.
I think students have suffered a lot in this pandemic. It's something that the government is very much aware of, the challenges that students face as they return to third level. We've responded by increasing the Student Assistance Fund. And on accommodation, COVID-19 has had a significant impact on the availability of bed spaces in on-campus accommodation, with the exception of NUI Galway. Shared rooms are not being offered this year because of concerns around COVID. And this removes the most affordable option available in most universities and also decreases the number of places available. Government has also taken on measures in relation to affordability. As you know, the cost of student accommodation is capped under the rent pressure zones. And in addition, Minister Bryan has passed legislation to restrict upfront payments that students used to be asked to pay. And in addition, under Housing for All, Ministers have now secured government approval to allow the new technological universities to borrow to build student accommodation, which I think will increase availability a lot. And one of the things that we need to see, it has been happening, but needs to happen more and faster, is universities and technological universities building on-campus student accommodation on a cost-rental basis.
And that was Leo Varadkar in the Dáil today. Fergal Keane, thank you very much indeed. One listener says, the reason there's no accommodation for students is that every political policy is designed to increase house prices and rents while suppressing supply. There is no political will to help anyone. An awful lot of people would say there is an awful lot of student accommodation development going on, but we'll hear more about that from Minister Niall Collins and from student leaders after five.
Frustration, anger, disappointment and outrage. Those are the words used by third level students protesting today about the lack of affordable accommodation as colleges reopen across the country. As Fergal Keane reported earlier, students are living in hotels, hostels, B&Bs, as well as commuting huge distances because of this shortage. And speaking on the News at One earlier today, DCU President Dara Keogh pointed to the wider effects this has had on access to third level education.
The cost of accommodation away from home is a barrier for large numbers of families. And that's building in a kind of an inequity in our education provision.
Well, in a moment, we're going to hear from Minister of State for Higher Education, Niall Collins. But first, let's speak to Beth O'Reilly, who is Campaign's Vice President with the Union of Students in Ireland. And Beth, I believe you're outside the Dáil. You're going to be spending the night there protesting. Is that right?
We are, yes. So I've moved down a bit from the chants so that you can hear me all right. But there's a hefty crew of us outside the Dáil. We were there all day from 12 p.m. and we'll be outside on Kildare Place for the whole night until tomorrow morning to really draw attention to this issue.
And obviously in the Union of Students in Ireland, I imagine you're hearing a lot of stories and issues and cases of people having problems. Can you give us some examples of some of the cases that you're hearing from people?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely horrific. We're getting hundreds of emails a day and local students' unions on the ground could be seeing even more. But I think one story that really sticks out to me was there was an international student who got in contact with us who was in an incredibly desperate situation. They had emailed over 1,000 landlords looking for properties, been to 47 viewings and nothing had come out of any of that work. So now they're in a position where they might have to take out a bank loan to be able to afford to pay for the more luxury high-end student accommodation complexes available.
And when you say the luxury student complexes, are they the purpose-built student accommodation that has been going on over the last couple of years?
The more private purpose-built ones as opposed to the on-campus purpose-built ones. So okay. The on-campus ones would tend to be a little bit more affordable, but the luxury ones, they have bowling alleys, video game rooms, and they would cost around €250 a week. So it's not affordable for anyone who's looking to start higher education.
What is affordable?
I mean, we have to look at it in line with the SUSE grant. I mean, if we're not giving the proper welfare supports to students to be able to afford to attend higher education, then we're pricing people out of higher education or making the assumption that only a certain socioeconomic group should be able to attend higher education. So it really needs to be in line with our grant system so that anyone can afford to access education anywhere in the country, no matter what their background.
Okay. I'm just trying to get roughly a figure, because if that private student accommodation that you're talking about, the luxury one, is, you know, can be up to €1,000 per month. I'm just wondering, how does that compare to what would sort of be generally seen as affordable for students? Would you be looking at €600-700 per month? Roughly,
I mean, depending on the
where
area.
You are,
in
of
Dublin,
course. Yeah.
Yeah, in Dublin, €600 would probably be some of the more affordable student accommodation. In Cork, there's some pretty affordable ones at around €400. But again, this is still a very high monthly rate for someone who can't afford to be in full-time work if they're trying to attend full-time studies. So we really need that on-campus purpose-built student accommodation with students in mind so that it acknowledges and the rent acknowledges that people won't be able to be in full-time employment.
Have you heard of cases where students are actually deferring their places this year because they can't find somewhere to live?
We have, and we've had a number of parents coming to us with this issue as well, especially for first years, because of the delay with the Leaving Cert results. A lot of people didn't know where they would be attending college until about 2 weeks before return to campus actually began. So we've had parents contacting us saying, look, my child only found out that they were going to this county and we're now searching for accommodation when most of it's been taken up by the other year groups and we're in a position where we might have to defer. And especially with the Susie deadline being in early October, you have essentially 4 weeks to find accommodation. And if you don't defer before then, you won't be considered for a grant for the next year.
Okay, and you can see how that would happen actually in terms of deferrals, because I believe there's 3,000 students in Galway on the waiting list for accommodation, one in every five students at NUIG.
Yeah, so Galway is in a particularly horrific situation at the moment. The hostels and hotels in the areas around the colleges of both GMIT and NUIG are completely full of students who are on Twitter every day absolutely begging for accommodation, and there just isn't the accommodation for them except for these luxury ones that are just so out of the price range.
We're going to be talking to Minister Niall Collins in just a second, Beth. What in the short term, in the, like, I know there's long-term policy changes that could alleviate this, but in the short term, what could be done in the next couple of weeks to try and help those students?
So short term, we really need people to open their homes up for digs accommodation. We recognise that there's obviously a level of wariness post-COVID with health and safety measures and with letting people into your homes. But from a compassionate lens, there are thousands of homeless students across the country who are looking at giving up their journey into higher education because they can't find a place to live. So for people who maybe do have those spare rooms or do live close to campuses, consider renting your property out for digs property so that you can help these students.
Okay, Beth, stay with us if you don't mind, and we'll bring in Minister Niall Collins now. Minister, firstly, what do you say to Beth and to the thousands of families and students around the country who are affected by this?
Good evening, Sarah. Yeah, it's a huge issue. We're very well aware of it. It's something that I'm dealing with as a constituency TD. I have people contacting me every single day of the week in relation to it. We're in a perfect storm in relation to the provision of student accommodation, as we all know. It's a wider consequence of the housing crisis. We have international students coming into the country. We've increased demographics in terms of numbers now attending college. We've had the issues in relation to construction, the cessation of construction, obviously, as well during the COVID lockdown, and some other practical issues which are coming up in terms of letting of accommodation where, for example, we don't have sharing of accommodation now due to COVID, and a reluctance also of people to let their properties because of the COVID environment within which we're living. Just to pick up on the last point that Beth O'Reilly referenced there in relation to appealing to people to make their own accommodations, if they have surplus accommodation within their own residences available, I think that's a very worthwhile call. It's one that I also echo. And just to remind our listeners also that people can earn under the rent-a-room scheme up to €14,000 tax-free per annum, which is a significant amount of tax-free earnings and income.
Has any consideration been given to increasing that as an incentive to people in recognition of the crisis that we're facing at the moment?
Yeah, well, look, that's something that would have to be considered by government. It certainly hasn't been discussed, but I think the main look that there's
do,
no.
Do you think it should be, or is it something that you'd be putting forward?
Look, it's something that can be considered for sure. But the main way of tackling this problem, to my mind, there is the increase, obviously, of supply.
Yeah. I will get onto that in just a second, but obviously right now it's September, colleges are open, first years are back, second years are back, third years are back, they're all looking for accommodation right now. We're hearing from the heads of universities that people are deferring places for a year, people's access to education is being blocked by the lack of accommodation. We're hearing from the representatives of the Students Association that one way to tackle this would be to get access to digs, to the accommodation that's already there. And I'm wondering, is there any plans? You're saying there's no plans to do anything to incentivise people further to give access to digs.
Yeah, well, I don't think increasing the €14,000 tax-free earning limit will have a huge impact. There are a lot of people out there who simply just don't avail of it. And I think the call that Beth is making and the call that I'm making is for people who don't engage in renting a room to consider it,
okay,
to avail of the €14,000 tax-free, because it is a significant amount of income which people can earn tax-free. But in the main, I think the issue is dressing supply, and yes, that's where we have to make, you know, put our focus in.
So
terms
let's, of so let's take a look at that for the moment. And under government policy, the purpose-built student accommodation that Beth was talking about is incentivized. So private developers can get incentives to build student accommodation because the units can be smaller, they don't have to provide any Part 5 social accommodation, so it makes it cheaper. And under government policy over the last 5 years, 10,000 purpose-built student accommodation units have been built. The vast majority, just under 10,000 of those, have been built by the private sector. And now we're hearing stories that those units, those buildings, are being transferred from planning permission for student accommodation to accommodate tourists. So the student accommodation, incentivised by the government, is being used for tourists, and that's being allowed to happen. Do we know on what scale that's being allowed to happen?
That's something that our department is aware of and that we're now engaging with the Department of Housing in relation to, and they will subsequently engage with our local authorities. There have been a small number of temporary permissions granted, particularly across Dublin. There was one in Cork, which was the application for change of use was subsequently actually withdrawn. But I agree, any student accommodation which is purpose-built should be for that de facto student accommodation.
So Rory Hearn is writing in the Examiner yesterday that up to a third of the private-built student accommodation in the last 5 years has been taken away from students and used for tourists.
Yeah, well, that shouldn't happen. And that should be governed by virtue of the conditions of planning which are granted. Now, if student accommodation is granted planning permission, there'll be certain conditions pertaining to that. And if a local authority receives a change of use application, they should deny that.
And my department, there's no law against it, obviously.
No, there isn't.
And should there be?
That's something which should be looked at.
Because it strikes me as pretty incredible that the government introduced incentives for developers to build student accommodation, allowed them build smaller units, allowed them avoid their obligations for social accommodation, and didn't put in any proviso that actually you can't turn around once the building is built and start renting it out to tourists instead.
Yes, and it's an issue which is crystallising now, and it's an issue which my department and the Department of Housing are looking at. There's also the
Why only now? This has been going on for 5 years.
Because the issue is crystallising now around the shortage of student accommodation. There was always a practice in relation to student accommodation during the summer months when it would be made available for alternative uses. But look,
okay, so what about emergency legislation on this, Minister? Because you're talking about supply, and I think it's going to really stick in people's craw that the supply is there, that 10,000 of these units have been built over the last 5 years, purpose-built student accommodation, as I say, with incentives for developers, private developers, to do that. 10,000 units of those. Now, Beth says, first off, they're too expensive. Nobody wants them anyway. So then the developers are turning around and saying, because they're so expensive, the students aren't coming in, we have to rent them somewhere. So they're going to the councils and saying, will you give us the option to rent them to tourists instead? I mean, it's a pretty outrageous scenario, isn't it?
Where is
the legislation to stop it, or where is the urgency to stop it immediately?
So there's 2 points that I want to make. First of all, we have planning permission, which has been granted for about 11,000 bed spaces, which needs to be developed. And secondly, the government has taken a clear decision as part of the Housing for All policy, which was launched recently, to allow our technological universities to borrow to build on-campus purpose-built student accommodation.
Yes, and I want
to
talk about that now next,
very,
if you don't mind. Yes,
and
I want to talk about that next. But just before we move on from this idea of the purpose-built student accommodation, what action, can you tell me any action that the government is going to take to close that loophole that allows developers to change the use of the accommodation once it's built? Is there going to be legislation brought in, or what action will be taken?
What I've said to you already is my department is engaging with the Department of Housing and our local authorities in relation to that. And there is, as part of that engagement, we will look at the demand within each local authority area for purpose-built student accommodation and the necessary conditions that will have to be applied to our purpose-built student accommodations and to planning permissions as they are granted.
All right, if we look then at what's in the Housing for All bill or plan, Dara Keogh from the DCU was on the News at One earlier, and he was saying the problem here is the building costs are too high. So even if universities or technological institutes can borrow to build, they still can't afford to build, because once they build the developments at the price that construction is demanding at the moment, they're going to end up charging 14,000 €3,000 per year to students, which is simply too high. They're saying they need a taxpayer subsidy.
Yeah, so and I heard that interview, and he referenced previously a previous government policy in relation, it was called the Section 50 policy, in terms of providing a tax break for people who develop purpose-built student accommodation. And that was a government intervention and a government policy at a point in time. The key government policy now in relation to increasing our supply, which has been a significant departure from where we have been up until very, very recently, because it's the advancement of our institutes of technology, where they are now transitioning into technological universities, where heretofore our institutes of technology were not allowed to borrow to build purpose-built student accommodation. That has contributed hugely to a build-up in a shortage of supply. So from here out, in terms of our technological university programs and the program for transitioning our institutes of technology to technological universities is well advanced. Pretty much all of our
I still don't understand, though, Minister, how that gets around the problem that Dara Keogh raised earlier, which is that the cost of construction is so high.
What I'm saying to you is, our institutes of technology have a lot of land available. They don't have site costs. They have the availability and the wherewithal to develop a lot of purpose-built student accommodation on their own existing campuses, which will contribute significantly to having a reduced construction cost. In addition to all of that, the Housing for All program has a lot of measures in terms of reducing the general cost of construction. Also, within the Housing for All program, as you know, there's a target to build about 33,000 units, residential units per annum, which will also increase and lead to an increased supply in terms of the number of residential accommodation units generally available in the rental market. So are a number of things happening.
Well, we might go back to Beth, who I'm sure has been listening with interest.
Can I just make one final point, please? There's no quick fix solution, but we have recognised the issue and we're doing all of that. In addition, we've increased the Student Assistance Fund, the Student Hardship Fund, from a pot of about €8 million to €16 million.
The problem is, Mr. Meese, there's no quick fix solution, and we hear that with housing problems the whole time. And yet, the government policy to fix this problem, which was put in place 5 years ago, would you accept that that has failed? Dramatically failed, because students aren't using the 10,000 units that are built because they're too expensive, and now they're being passed on to tourists. Would you accept that that policy that's been in place for 5 years, never mind a quick fix solution, has failed?
Well, what I'm saying to you is there's obviously an issue with some purpose-built student accommodation which isn't available to students, and we're working to fix that. But in general, I think, you know, it's the job of government to bring about the conditions which will foster the supply of purpose-built student accommodation within the student environment. And that is exactly what we're doing. We're working with our institutions and we're working within the construction sector to bring about those conditions.
We'll go to Beth for a final word in this. And Beth, what do you think of what you've heard there?
I understand, and I think it's a question, a statement we've been getting a lot from the government when we campaign on this issue, that there's no quick fix. But the reality of the situation is the student housing crisis has been going on for years. We didn't need a quick fix back then. We needed policy changes. We needed those things that don't happen overnight. Now it has progressed to the point where we do need a quick fix. We do need policy changes that can happen overnight, because the situation has expanded to the point where there are tens of thousands of students who are currently without a home. And it's a direct result of governmental policy that we've gotten to this point.
All right, well, we'll leave it there for the moment. Thank you both very much for joining us. That's Beth O'Reilly, Campaigns Vice President with the Union of Students in Ireland, and also Niall Collins, Minister of State for Higher Education. Lots of texts coming in on this. We'll get to some of those after the break.